Well, hello everybody. This is Jean Parker in Pune, India. Since everybody on the site is doing podcasts about where they live, I thought I would do a podcast about where I live. But instead of talking about everything and all of the nooks and crannies of my place here, where everything is and so forth, I thought I would talk about the things that are different about my house that perhaps people have not encountered or had an experience with before. So I hope that's okay with everybody. Pune is a city of about 4 million people, and it's south and east of Bombay, about, 150 miles or so. I'm standing in my two-bedroom flat. I'm standing just inside the front door, and one of the things is that a lot of places don't have actually a doorknob, especially for the front door. This particular flat happens to have doorknobs, but the last place I lived in had latches. There were no knobs at all. So you just simply had a bar that you used to both close the door and lock the door. And so similarly, this front door has the same kind of arrangement, although it has a three-cylinder lock on it, and it has a latch on the top, which is very high for me to reach, and there's a bar on the bottom that comes across. And to open the door, you simply pull a lever, which is on the lock, and the door opens. And here is the hallway. This is a pretty quiet day, actually. It's May the 1st, and May the 1st in India, as in many countries, is a holiday for working people. So I think I might do this podcast in additions. So at some other point in this podcast or in some other podcast, you'll hear a lot of different sounds. Now, what you're hearing going by the window there is some sort of a diesel vehicle, probably a truck or a delivery van of some kind. So I've turned off the fans and the things that were making noise. Fortunately, we have electricity right now. That isn't always the case. In fact, yesterday we didn't have electricity at all, and the reasons for that differ depending on who you talk to. Combination of corruption, lack of water at this time of year, and probably half a dozen other reasons that people can think of. So this room, often in this part of the world, is called the hall. And so in here are a number of things. And by the way, as I go through all of this, if I hear something that needs explaining, I will I'll stop and do that. We have a fish tank here in the hall. I'll open it up. You can hear the filter and the water and so forth. And when I feed the fish, often they jump and they make a splashing sound after the food has been put into the water. On the wall in front of me, to the left of the front door, is a cabinet, and this used to be a kitchen cabinet. One of the things that we're very fortunate to have here in India is the ability to construct our own furniture, and so much of our furniture is constructed at home. And so it's made to fit, and when I get to describe my desk and work arrangement, I'll tell you more about that. But this kitchen cabinet happened to have a sliding glass door. And so, whereas in our other flat it was a kitchen cabinet, now it's a display cabinet. So it has it has things in it, DVDs, CDs, movies, and the music set is also in this cabinet. And then to the right of that is a beanbag. Beanbags became popular several years ago. And a number of people have them around in their houses. I have a stool here that's made of bamboo. It's multicolored, and I can't remember now exactly what colors it is. It's from Calcutta. It's very beautiful and very interesting construction in the bamboo. And it's shaped like an hourglass. So the top of it, it's a round stool. The top of it is fat, and then the middle part of the cylinder is smaller than that, and the bottom is fat again. We have a set of furniture here that is from the state of Gujarat in India. And it's a couch and two chairs and two stools, all upholstered in red. And the furniture itself is made from, and a table. There's a table also here with a glass top. The furniture itself is made from round dowels, which have been turned on a lathe. All different sizes of dowels are there. Some action going on in the street. I'm just going to step over to the window and let you listen. So what's happening here is that a lot of the kids are on holiday, there's no school, and it's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and so people are shouting at each other, people have returned home from wherever they've been, or they're waking up from their siesta, and a lot of people wake up around this time of the late afternoon from sleeping in the afternoon. So also in this room is a dining table. It's made of plastic and it's foldable. And there's a bunch of chairs that people can sit in. The middle of the hall is open. And the reason for that is because often that's where people eat. And so there's a mat that we use called a chatai. And the mat is often put on the floor and then people sit around it and eat their food. And that's how many, if not most people in India eat. There's a variation of that that some people use in which they use a plate that's on a stand in the middle of the room and everyone eats off of that plate. In between the doorway of the hall to the kitchen area is a curtain, and you often see this in India and other hot countries where you have a curtain that divides areas or divides rooms. And this gives people the ability to close off a room without closing off the ventilation. And this is a fairly modern kitchen. I'll just describe a couple of the things that are different. The counter is made of stone. And that's a very typical construction in India. Stone is readily available. There's a certain caste of people who cut stone and who install it and who deal with stone. Underneath the cabinets where the cooking utensils are, these are open. They are also made of stone. And the cooking utensils, pots and plates and so forth, you can hear I'm making some noise with them, are mostly made of stainless steel. On the top of the counter is a rack, and instead of keeping the dishes in a cabinet, usually we keep them in a rack because they dry more quickly and they're available for the person who's cooking. So here is the rack with all of the dishes. Now that you have a headache. So kitchens in India tend to be very noisy, and maybe one of these days I'll do a podcast on Indian cooking, and you can hear the sounds of what happens in the kitchen. The reason that dishes and so forth are made of steel is unclear to me. A lot of, first of all, it's readily available, but also most people of at least the professional classes, and even other than the professional classes, have servants. And so the thought is that if you have steel dishes, they won't get broken as easily. However, they do get bent. One interesting thing about one type of plate that I have here. This is a pan kind of thing. The sides of it are very high. It's probably 8 inches round, maybe 10 inches round. And the sides of it are very high. Reason for that is because sometimes, instead of using a finger bowl, and if you're in a place that that doesn't have plumbing, you know, most people in India and South Asia, a lot of parts of Asia and North Africa, we eat with our hands. And so a plate like this is used. You eat your food out of it, and then at the end of the meal, you have a tumbler of water, and you can rinse your hands directly into the plate, and you don't waste another plate using the water or waste another utensil to put the water in. So also on this counter is a stove, and this is a gas stove. And usually the gas stoves are two burners. You can get four burner ones, but usually people have two burner gas stoves. And then underneath here, some people might recognize that sound. That's the gas cylinder. The gas cylinder is changed. Oh, when you run out, you book another one. And sounds like somebody has some chickens. I'll find out where that's coming from later. On the counter also that's kind of interesting is a little edge. Usually there's a little edge of stone. So it's quite a bit more difficult to slide things off the counter and drop them on the floor. And by the way, the floors here are all tile. Usually they're either tile or stone, again, because it's readily available and also it's easier to clean. Across from the counter is a refrigerator. It's about 4 feet high. Nothing much to say about that. We have a cabinet that's here to keep things in. Microwave is here. You can hear the refrigerator just turned on. And then next to the refrigerator is a set of baskets. It's a stack of baskets. Sometimes they're made of plastic, sometimes they're made of bamboo or some kind of wicker. And this is to keep vegetables in. One of the things that's different about living in this part of the world is that we go shopping every day because that's the lifestyle, that's the culture. Many people live without refrigerators, and so the lifestyle is to go shopping every day and get fresh food. And so at 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning, we get eggs and milk delivered. The milk comes in a bag, and when it arrives, or soon after it arrives, it's boiled in something called a milk cooker, oddly enough. And it's kind of an ingenious thing. It's a two-chamber pot with the outer chamber containing water, and the inner chamber is where you put the milk. So it's a cylinder, and then it has a lid, and it has a similar kind of thing like a pressure cooker. And so you cook the milk on the stove, and when it's finished, it begins to whistle, and that's how you know that the milk is okay. Now I'm opening up this door out to my balcony. And this is where the laundry is kept. I'm just going to stand here and let you listen for a minute. There's an auto rickshaw going by. And there goes a motorcycle. Our road, by the way, is in terrible shape. It fell apart last year in the monsoon. And so they decided in the dry season they would put in some drainage, what do you call this, drainage pipes. And so the road is all dirt and mud and holes and trenches and stuff and almost impassable, but not quite. There goes another auto rickshaw. It's a three-wheeled vehicle. And it's the modern-day bicycle or pulling rickshaw. You know, the rickshaws used to be that someone would pull them. So you still find those in India. Actually, they still have them in places. You hear some dogs in the background there. A lot of dogs are around here. A lot of feral dogs, loose dogs that travel and live in packs. So we have a rack here. For the laundry, it folds, as do a lot of things, to make space, because space is at a premium. So then, also in the balcony, I'm walking through the clothes, and it's hitting the microphones. Sorry. This is a drum, and we keep water in that drum. There's a window between the balcony and the kitchen, and so we keep water there because sometimes we don't have any. So when the water won't come out the tap, then we have to get it from the drum, and so we have to keep it full, particularly this time of year when things just dry up. So that is the kitchen. Oh, and then there's a sink. Usual kind of one tap, of course. We do not have hot and cold water, running water here. Some people do, I suppose, but we don't here. So we just have cold water here. I'll explain how the water is heated later on. And then we have a dustbin. There's a plastic dustbin here. Usually, most houses only have one small dustbin because there isn't that much that's thrown away. A lot of things are reused, recycled somehow. And actually, to tell you the truth, a lot of people throw stuff out the window, so that's not good. But anyway, across from the balcony that I just came in from is another door that goes to another balcony. And this is actually on the inside of the building. And we use this balcony for storage. Also, the laundry, the dirty laundry is in here. Oh, you can hear my neighbors. Somebody downstairs has a horrible screaming kid. I don't know who it is, but sometimes people put laundry in these balconies, but they're a little small for putting laundry. But there are places to put lines up here. And there's a cement wall between where I'm standing and the the pit or the hole where the where it goes down into the bowels of the building, you could say, the lower part of the building. But we keep stuff in here. We keep our chattaiser here. We have an extra cylinder in here, gas cylinder. Most people have two gas cylinders. When the cylinder runs out, if you don't have an extra gas cylinder or there's a gas shortage, then you have to go to a kerosene stove. And if there's no kerosene and no gas, no cylinder available, then you have to go and get something to build a fire with. And that happens, occasionally. So now I'm in a kind of a little hallway. And to my left is a wash basin. And to my right is one of two bathrooms that we have here. I'm going to open this up. And I want to describe it to you. This is a typical Indian bathroom that you'd find in a flat, that is, in an apartment, or in a house, I suppose, in that it's a combination toilet and shower. But sometimes the toilet is actually separate from the shower, and in my view, that's a better way to do things, but nobody asked my opinion when they were putting this together. So to my left is the shower, and there's a tap here. with some buckets. This is also where the laundry is done. And when Lolita comes tomorrow, I will record for you how she does the laundry. It's all done by hand. Oh, some people have laundry machines nowadays, but I don't. And so there's a bunch of buckets. There's a thing that she sits on. There's a stick that she uses to beat the laundry. And I'll tell you more about that later. So in front of me is an Indian toilet. We have one of each, one Indian toilet, one Western toilet. And this is maybe, let's see, 4 or 5 inches up on a step kind of thing. And in the middle of that is a hole that is rectangular. And on each side of the hole is a set of ridges, which is how you know where to keep your feet. And you sit over this hole and you do your business. And some toilets are automatic in that they have a flush, and some are not. This one happens to be automatic. I suppose I should flush it since everybody else is flushing their toilets. To see if it actually works. All right, that's enough of that. Thank you. Thank you. And there is enough water pressure to flush the toilet today. If there isn't enough water pressure, or if you're using a toilet that doesn't have an automatic flush, then you take a bucket and throw water down the toilet, and that's how it's flushed. Now, in front of the toilet and to the right is a tap. And underneath that tap is a bucket and a mug, plastic, sort of a pitcher kind of thing. And in India, as in many countries, people generally don't use toilet paper. And so the mug and the bucket is there for you to clean yourself. So, I'm going to close this door. There's a wash basin in the hallway here because people, before they eat, they will want to wash their hands because, again, most people eat with their hands. So, I'll go into the main bedroom here. One of the things I mentioned before, I think, is the advantage that we have here in India in that we can have our furniture constructed to our specifications. And so as opposed to somebody saying, well, this is where, this is how this bed is constructed, or this is how this table is constructed, you can make your own drawings, or you can have something copied that you see in a magazine or that somebody else has. And so that's a very nice thing. And it's actually cheaper to do it that way than it is to buy ready-made furniture. It makes a mess and it makes a noise, but once it's finished, it's over, and then you have your furniture that you designed and had built. So this bed that's in front of me is one such item. And it's, I suppose it would be considered a queen-sized bed. Not quite sure what the measurement should be. And so it's constructed of wood, and underneath the bed, as in many places, is a lot of storage. And so I've just pulled out a drawer. It's a very large drawer and quite deep. It's almost the depth that the bed is high. And so, again, in the interest of saving space, the storage tends to be within furniture or underneath things. The mattress on this bed is made from cotton and coconut fibers. It's very, very comfortable. And too bad you all don't have them because they're very nice. This bed has also two side tables which were made to match. And on the headboard of the bed is a cushion, which is just a nice soft kind of pillow type thing. In here also is a metal cupboard This is my partner's cupboard where he keeps, he's a physician, so he keeps all his clothes and some of his medical stuff in here. And one of the reasons a lot of things are made from metal, aside from the fact that it's readily available, see it's got a drawer in it and stuff, is that it, in to some degree, prevents insects, ants, and so forth from getting in there. So they don't like metal, I guess. I don't know. And they are less likely to invade and infest a metal closet. This is a closet that I had built, again, to my specifications. Everything is to my height. I'm short, so I can have things built to my requirements. This has, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 shelves, 5 shelves, and a couple of locking drawers that are in it. It's made of wood. It's got a mirror. Both cabinets in here have full-length mirrors. And there's another bathroom in here that I'm going into now. And this has a Western toilet. This also has a wash basin. And it has a shower. And another thing you find in bathrooms a lot are buckets. Because many, many, many people are not used to using a shower. They're kind of afraid of it. And so buckets are there. People use that for bathing. Each of these bathrooms has what's called a geyser. And it's a kind of a boiler that's in the ceiling, fastened to the ceiling, that heats the water. And so when you want to take a hot shower or a hot bath or something, you have to heat the water. And so you have to turn on the geyser. Oh, it takes about 10-15 minutes to heat, I guess. Now, if you don't have electricity and it's not hot like it is now, and you don't want to take a cold bath, then you would end up heating the water on the stove. And if you have a lot of people in a house who are living together and a lot of people who need to be someplace early in the morning, it can be a real problem to get all of the water heated. So that's another fact of life here. Now I'm walking into the second bedroom, which serves as my studio and a guest bedroom and also a bedroom for the young boy I look after. His name is Tippy, and I will introduce you to him later. He's visiting his village at the moment, so he's not here. I had the treatments, the acoustic treatments for this room built here in the house, and they're very simple. It's just some plywood with some, what do you call this, probably some kind of particle board with holes, and then at strategic places it's got some insulation, and it simply hangs on the wall, so when it's time to move it just needs to be taken down. The construction of most houses and flats, I think I mentioned before, is concrete and tile, and so echo is a real problem. And I have had the problem of going to record interviews, and there's just too much reverberation. And so that's a real issue here in India, is the amount of noise and the amount of reverberation that's in most places. Now, in front of me is my desk, and again, I had this built so that the footrest is at the height I need, the desk is at the height that I need, the cable management is where I want it, not where some corporate designer thinks I should have it. And above the desk is a long row of compartments, which is a media rack. And because I work in radio, I have lots of different kinds of media. I have mini discs, I have CDs, I have DVDs here, cassettes are here. I think that's about it. And so I had this rack built to accommodate all of these different things so that CDs didn't have to be in one place, videos in another place, mini discs in another place. So they all fit here, and it's very nice. They did a very nice job. And then above the desk is a cabinet which has shelves and compartments in it for the same thing. I keep my printer in here because the dust is likely to get into the printer mechanism and cause problems. And I primarily use a laptop for my computer. I back everything up on a PC that's sitting here also, but I got a network, wireless network put in, because when everybody else wants to watch a movie on the PC, then I can go off and do my work, because usually they want to watch some movie I'm not interested in. So there's a PC here. And between the two desks where my computer is and where the PC is something else that we have called a UPS. It's an uninterruptible power supply and also a big lead-acid battery. Like I said, we lose electricity a lot, and so we have to have a way to protect the computers from just losing power and turning off. And so that gives us, well, let's see, if the monitor is on, it gives us maybe 40 minutes, I guess. And if the monitor is not on, then we can get maybe 4 or 5 hours, I guess, out of it. Another interesting thing in this room is that outside of this window is a satellite dish. It's a little plastic box. Maybe it's 4 or 5 inches square, and it's bolted to the outside of the building. And we have satellite radio here. We have World Space Radio. And so there are three connections here. There's one in this room, one in the hall, and one in the bedroom. Because sometimes I want to have my BBC in the morning, and at other times, I want to play music and hook the World Space Radio to the stereo system. And at other times, if I want to listen to National Public Radio or something, I might want to have it in here. Because I report for National Public Radio, I often need to keep track of the news, what's going on and who's reporting what, and so forth. So then there are two beds in here. One of them is a folding bed that Tippy uses. And then there's a double bed here, which again has storage in the form of a gate, a couple of gates that lift, not lift, but open down. And they have a little latch on them. And you can also open this bed from the top, so you can pick up the mattress and actually pick up the piece of wood that comprises the top of the bed, and get things out of there. So you can store a lot in these beds. They're like big boxes. Now, you know, most of our beds don't have springs. They're just wood frames with a mattress on top. And they're very comfortable. If you're interested at some point, I could do a podcast on how I do my work. Some people might find it kind of interesting. I mentioned that a lot of people in this country and actually throughout this part of the world have servants, and I have a servant. I have a maid servant is the title of what we call that person. And it really, I know it sounds to people in the West as though, oh, that's a really a luxurious thing. And it's really not a luxury, it's a necessity in this part of the world to have somebody to do the housework and the cooking. And in my case, I have somebody who does the housework, that being the cleaning, the dusting, washing of the floors. She does most of the cooking. She does the laundry, and she does the ironing. And she also occasionally goes to the market for vegetables or fruit. Usually if it's meat or fish, we have to go further away, and so myself or my partner goes to deal with that. We cannot buy beef in the vicinity. We have to go all the way to the central market in Pune for that. This is a Hindu country, and so beef is a little bit of a problematic thing sometimes. And so when you hire a maidservant or a cook, if you're a beef eater, if you're a vegetarian, then you're in good shape. But if you're a beef eater, you want to make sure that that person will cook it. And some will and some won't. As I said, the sweeping is done every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And so it's a full-time job, really, to keep a house together. And it's not an easy job. Houses are opened. We don't have screens, and so a lot of dust comes in, a lot of stuff comes in. So it's not an easy job, and so if you are working, as I am, and everybody in the house is working, Tippy's in school, then you need a maidservant. And even if in the house the wife is a housewife, they still have a maidservant. And often many servants. Now I think you probably hear some dogs in the background. I think that's a big dog. There's an open area outside this window, and so there tends to be a lot of dogs and animals back here. The area is patrolled. There's a watchman clear at the other end that lives in a little shack over there. And so there are no people living on this land. But if it wasn't patrolled, it's highly likely that there would also be people living on this empty lot here. That often happens if it's a piece of land that isn't being used. Sometimes, at certain times of the year, there are also sheep and goats here. And those belong to nomadic herders who have come through this area for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. And just because there's a city here, they see no reason to stop. So they often graze their animals, goats, sheep, so forth, on this land here. And it helps keep the vegetation under control. One thing I forgot to mention that's in the hall here, that's just inside the front door, is a shoebox. And it's a wood box with doors on it, double doors. And that's where people keep their shoes. And most houses in India and in most of Asia, people don't wear shoes in the house. And so people come in and put their shoes in the shoebox. And sometimes it happens that you go past somebody's house or somebody's flat, and there's a whole pile of shoes outside. There are a lot of interesting rituals around shoes. Two places where shoes are not allowed, in India at least, are in recording studios and in the intensive care units of hospitals. You have to remove your shoes to go into either of those places. And some people have that rule in their offices too. They won't. They'll ask you to remove your shoes before you come into their offices. And so it's always good to ask. And there you have it. That's about all for now, I think. See how people like this podcast. And if people like it, if they want, I can do another one on some other topic, some other aspect of life here. And it's now evening time, so I'm just going to step over to the window and let you hear the outside. This is Jean Parker in Pune, India.